Blog Talk Radio.
Here, man. Happy damn birthday, man. You're the birthday boy. That's little B, baby O, and chicken shit. Why? I do not know, but it is that way. You know, you have a very good friend, and Tommy. See, you guys have been friends for 40 years. You were up for early retirement, but was denied this week by an idiot New York mayor. So you're a little bit down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's gonna go above.
Doesn't seem right, man. When things don't go according to
from the
way we believe and the way that we've worked for.
We can
you know, you put your time in, you do what you're supposed to do, keep your nose clean. And when it comes time for you to be rewarded, doesn't seem like anybody's there to hand out the badges and the trinkets and the checks. Brother, hang on, man. Hang on. Don't let go of it now. Don't blow your top.
I got you.
Do something silly.
Down here.
But just keep doing what you've been doing, man. Mm-hmm. Providing, loving, sharing, and taking
mm-hmm.
care of your people, man. That's the big thing, isn't it? So, I don't know how much longer.
This is WWE Hall of Famer Tito Santana giving a really nice shout out to Jeff Talwinski. You and Thomas have been friends for 40 years, and you were wrestling fans in the 80s when I, Tito Santana, was in his pinnacle. I had a great career, and it was because of fans like you. Jeff, I want to thank you for being a Tito Santana fan and for bringing me up and the WWF in your podcast. I understand that your childhood was full of watching professional wrestling, and Thomas was right there alongside with you. I want to thank you again for being a Tito Santana fan. And like I always say, if it wasn't for you guys, none of us would be anybody. So thank you again. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Arriba!
With the players.
Come on, live direct from hell, Final Pass.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that is my cue to start the show. Welcome to another edition of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rockin' Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your three-hour weekly get-together where we bring you all the biggest news around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, the wide world of sports. And, guys, welcome to March the 24th in the year of our Lord, 2022. And I hope you guys have had a good week. It's a little bit weather-wise up in the air. We've had some nice weather. We've had some cold weather. We've had some rainy weather. I guess it's that time of year. We're in the spring. Time already. God, the years fly by, the months fly by, and the years with them. So make sure you're out there enjoying yourself. I hope you guys had a good St. Patty's Day last week. I know we were on the air afterwards, but just want to wish it out there. I want to wear a couple of birthdays. I want to shout out to Jeff's dad, Mr. T, Rich Talwinski. He celebrated a birthday, I believe, 2 days ago, and yesterday was dear friend Paul Gill. His birthday yesterday, amongst others, my cousin Rose from Florida. That's right. Her birthday was yesterday. And a couple of the people in my life had their birthdays yesterday. So happy birthday to all of you. Hope you guys have all had a great week. It's been okay. But I want to wish my mom a speedy recovery. She had a little trip and fall. She seems to be on the mend. But I want to just wish my mom. Hold on. Jeff's running a little late. No problem. Hold on. Sorry. No problem. So I wish my mom a speedy recovery. And listen, guys, it's not for nothing, guys. This has been the strangest football season, off season, I should say, I have ever seen. Big trades don't happen in football. You don't really see the blockbuster deal. I mean, you could probably go back and count those, Herschel Walker and trades like that are dying. One every 10,000 years in football. This year, holy cow! In the last week, we've had Matt Ryan traded. Tyreek Hill comes up out of nowhere and gets traded. Russell Wilson's got traded. Deshaun Watson's been traded. We've got a quarterback carousel flying around. And to me, most of this stems from the fact that how much. Two and three guys are getting paid on these rosters, and I think it's starting to affect it. So lots to talk about, lots to get to tonight. Thank you guys for stepping up and joining us for a little bit of fun. Hopefully we're on the air and we're doing our thing, and we'll talk a little bit about baseball. And the big news for baseball, especially if you're a Yankee and a Met fan, is I don't know how and why they've eased up on the vaccine mandate requiring people who work in New York City to be vaccinated. And it's all about the privilege. And 1,400 city workers lost their jobs this past February because they were not vaccinated. And they eased that today by allowing athletes and entertainers in New York City don't have to be vaccinated any longer. But the working guy, firefighter, the police officer, the sanitation worker, you guys have to be vaccinated. And the 1,400 people who lost their jobs have no road back to get their job. So I want to bring that up to Jeff, because as all you know, Jeff works for the city of New York. He had to get vaccinated, and he did. That's no secret here. So lots to get to with that. We'll talk football, baseball. The Yankees and Mets are underway. Forget about the vaccine mandates. We got a lot of stuff to talk about with the game of baseball. We got anniversaries, the 50th anniversary of The Godfather. What, are you a fan of the first Godfather or the second Godfather? Which one? And nobody likes the third one. That's horrendous. We also got Iron Maiden, the Number of the Beast, the classic. So some people say the one that started it all, even though it's not the first album. But put them on the map for sure. Celebrates 40 years. So we got a lot to talk about tonight. So make sure you guys stick around for four hours. Jesus Christ, we'll do 4 hours. For 2 hours and change. And join Jeff and I. We do some talking. So. We got Robert Giroux popping up. I hope I'm saying his name right. I'm kind of guessing. Robert is a producer for our good friend Leonard Torricelli. So Robert's going to pop up tonight, talk about Leonard's new album, which he's working on. Original songs about Rosebank. Should it be interesting. So we have Robert popping up tonight. He'll talk a little baseball with us. And again, we got a lot of football. We got a lot of baseball. We got a lot of sports in general. So stick around, hang around, and join Jeff and I when this kicks up for good. Also want to congratulate a couple people. Thanks to our good friends at Hemp Wizard. Congratulate them on their one-year anniversary. I think we announced it last week, but those guys are really good. And if you're out there and you're looking to get yourself some beard products, some facial products, check those guys out. They're the real deal. Jeff swears by them off the air as well. Jeff don't swear by a lot of people. Swear that people doesn't swear by people. And, again, our good friend Mark Scott, he's the Trickster drummer as far as I'm concerned, even though Trickster seems to be having their problems. Mark released his line of vodka called American Premium Vodka. So if you're out there and you're shopping, take a look around. See if you can find American Premium Vodka made in America with American products, and a good piece of the profits wind up with our veterans. So I can't beat that. They had the launch last week at the Pat Tillman Lodge out in Arizona. And Mark's going to be making his way across the country. Promises to stop by us to see us here. We'll be hopefully doing a little event with Mark where he'll be here at one of the lodges and promoting his vodka and celebrating with the vets. And hopefully we'll be able to join him for that night. But in the meantime, let's get the show kicked off. My dad's online. Let's get him on. Let's talk a little. I'll see what he wants to talk about. Baseball, Giants, football, mandates. I don't know what that's going to want to talk about. But let's figure that out. Hold on 1 second. Let's get to the button. What's up, Pop?
What's up? Excuse me. What's up, Tom? How you doing?
What's going on, Pops?
Now, I was just watching TV, relaxing, and seeing all the garbage about the baseball, the ball plays on it, and
Yeah.
But you know what that teaches you? So there's people that are very dedicated to the game, and it's not. There's no dedication. The players couldn't care, and I don't blame them. Because if I was one of them, I'd be the same way. The owners don't care, and again, if I was one of them, I wouldn't care either. It's just you feel sorry for the guy watching TV.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with you on this one. I think that this is simply just, you know, I think if a guy doesn't want to get vaccinated, he doesn't get vaccinated, and I don't believe that anybody should be. So I'm a little off on that one. But I also think it's completely wrong to ease up a mandate where you're telling millions of people who work in New York City that they can't work here without being vaccinated, especially city workers, and then go ahead and tell million-dollar athletes, go ahead and play here, even if you're vaccinated or you're not vaccinated. Entertainers as well, people on Broadway, which is good. I think that's great, but you know, it's either everybody or not. Then what you're telling me, Dad, is you're not following any science. Because that's...
No. I agree with you 100%. I don't think... If you're going to fire a policeman or a fireman or a nurse or a doctor or whatever because they didn't get their shot, it should be for everybody then.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
And the people who lost their jobs should have a way to be
better. No, I understand. No, I agree with you 100%. That's okay. But what I'm talking about, I mean, I know people, and I was one of them, used to be very dedicated to, oh, you got to watch the Yankees. If they're good,
yeah.
If they stink, you should watch them. Support them. No. If I turn on the game, the Yanks are losing 7-0, I change the channel. There's no loyalty. If you're a winner, I'll watch you. If you're a loser, I'm not going to watch you. The players don't have it. And again, I don't blame them for it. And the owners don't have it. And I don't blame them either. It's just that's the way it is. And if enough people did that, I don't know.
I couldn't agree with you more. Let's get Jeff on. He just popped up. That's the co-host of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show and my pal for 40 years, Jeff Towinski. Let's add him on. What's up, Hefe?
My weight. That's what's up. How you doing, Mr. Florio?
How are you, Jeff? How you doing, buddy? When you see your dad, wish him a happy birthday.
I will. Thank you. I will.
Hi. You're quite welcome.
Yeah, we were
talking about the baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to add something. When you said about shutting them off when they lose, I hear you. I hate when somebody says you got to stand behind your team. Nobody wants to watch somebody lose. I'm a Jet fan. I can't watch every game.
Yeah.
They suck. If there's no entertainment value in watching somebody get their shit kicked out of them.
I would agree. I agree to a certain extent. You know, it's hard to support these athletes nowadays. Maybe it was the same back in the day. I don't know. I never got that feeling growing up, but maybe it was because I was a kid. It's hard to support these guys now when you listen to the stuff that they fight about and all of that. And I agree with my dad to a certain extent. If I turn on a Yankee game and they're down 4-1, I'm not sticking with it. I might flip back and forth. I'm not as dedicated as I used to be. When it comes to the Giants, though, Jeff, I watch every game. I watch pretty much every play of every game because it's only once a week. So I think that's the difference as opposed to, you know, 5 or 6 baseball games a week.
Well, you know, I understand what you're saying about there being only one game a week, but I think a lot of it has to do with you being a Giant fan and not realizing or not knowing any better.
I know better. Believe me. I got it. I agree with you.
No. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
It's just Jeff being stupid, Dad. Don't listen.
Oh, okay. No, I agree with you to a point. But listen, you know, you watch some teams. I mean, let's take Dallas. Dallas very rarely will go more than a couple of years of being a really stinky team. And then they're back. The Giants can go 20 years, and they still sell out. And so that's either telling me they don't know what the hell they're doing, and this has been going on for 50 years, okay? I mean, they'll go to 20-year periods with fielding garbage teams, and they still sell out, and we got to stand by them. If you're putting garbage out, I don't have to stand by you. I'm not. I understand if you're trying to rebuild your team, but, I mean, come on, look at the garbage they got, and it's the same thing every year.
I agree with you, but you know, listen. Come Sunday morning, some Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, and whatever channel they're on, I'm gonna flip on my Giants, and you're gonna hope that they win that game. You know, I've gotten past the last couple of years of worrying about what the season brings. I just watch one game at a time and see how it plays out. And listen,
you're entitled to your opinion, I understand. I was like that for years, and then I saw, you know, when you start seeing ball players. You know, it's all my, and listen, it would have been like that in the 40s, 50s, and the 60s, too. It would have been the same thing. The only thing is the players didn't have the, weren't able to do it.
Sure. They weren't able to make that kind of money, sure.
No, they couldn't. They could. Or they would have did it, too. And who could blame them?
Of course not. Nobody
could you imagine
Joe
DiMaggio going to Yankee Stadium and tell them, okay, sit down, partner.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
It's crazy.
No, I honestly get it. Believe me, I understand what it's all about. And, you know, the players want to make as much as they can. The owners want to make as much as they can. And, you know, that's what capitalism is. And I'm all for capitalism. So I do have certain when you take the product off the field to argue over, a few dollars, that bothers me. If you want to argue behind the scenes and make your money and all of that and what people are paying it, go for it. But it's when you take it off the field like they did this year that it gets to me.
Yeah, you know, Tommy, it's been like that all the time. Now it comes out in public.
I get it. Believe me.
It comes out like it's a shame. It really is. I'm going to let you guys go. I know you got a lot coming up. Enjoy it. Jeff, yeah, buddy. Nice talking to you. Tommy, I'll probably see you over the weekend.
I will see you over the weekend, Pops. Thank you.
Okay,
talk to you. That's my dad checks in every week with us. And, again, as I said earlier, we're celebrating a bunch of anniversaries. Our friends at Hemp Wizard, Beard Care Co., they have their one-year anniversary. I think it was officially last week.
Real quick, we've got the product right here.
There it is.
My beard has been very soft.
A little product placement.
Show people. What's that?
A little product placement. It's always good.
Yeah,
good for you.
So
there it is.
It.
Good for you.
I use this one. It's Cushman's. Like smells like Christmas.
Smells like Christmas. Nice.
Yeah, very good. I like it.
All right. So a little bit. Also, we got the 50th anniversary of the Godfather, the movie, the first one. We'll get a little insight on that. Jeff and I will talk a little bit about the movie. Sure. Get our favorite parts.
Yes, yes. Who, if you were to compare yourself to one character
in the Godfather?
The Godfather. Who would it be?
First of all, I don't think we're on the air for some reason. Can you
we
check?
Are.
We are. You sure?
Yeah, I seen it. That was what I was doing when you were first on, coming on, but I don't see the thing. I had to look up the channel.
Okay, we are. I see it now. Okay, thank you.
Will Cloak is saying, hey, guys, what's up, Will?
The thing, I had to look up the channel.
So just answer Will there.
Hey, Will. You know, so we'll talk about the Godfather. So I had to pick one character. Who would I? Easy for me. Bobby Duvall. I would be Tom Higgins. Tom Hagen.
Really?
Yeah, I'm kind of like the
on the show.
Yeah, no, Tom Higgins was the best. They just didn't bring him. I would say yeah, that would probably be my role. I would say if they were auditioning me for the movie, that would be that's where I would head.
Tom Higgins.
Yep.
If they auditioned you for it, you would be Tom Higgins.
That's Tom Hagen, sorry. Yes, that's who I would be. Bobby Duvall. And who do you think you would be? Would you be Brando? Would you be Sonny Corleone? Where would you fall into that?
I don't know. I never thought of it, man.
Well,
I never thought
you
of
just,
where
would you be Fredo?
No, I definitely wouldn't be Fredo. No.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to be Sonny either.
Okay.
He was in some pain before he finally left.
Yes, he definitely took a couple rounds to the chest before departing.
Yeah. If I keep eating and getting fatter, I'm going to have to go with Marlon Brando just for size.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about the movie. We're going to talk about the 40th anniversary of an album I bought, and I'm 99% sure I bought it with Jeff 40 years ago this time period, which was Iron Maiden's Number of the Beast, the classic. A lot of people say their best album. I go back and forth, but today I decided that Iron Maiden Number of the Beast was my favorite Maiden album of all time.
Yeah. It's got to be my favorite Dickinson album of all time.
Yeah, I know. You prefer the Killers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
Killers' first two albums.
And I love them both, but to me, while Maiden Japan was my first Maiden album I ever got, I would say that Number of the Beast was the first Maiden album I ever bought after that. And then backtrack to the other two albums. And I would say Number of the Beast, I think that's what happened. I don't remember getting Killers and Iron Maiden before. But I remember, and I'm pretty sure I was with you. We went back to my house on Highland Boulevard in Tompkins. And we listened to the album together for the first time 40 years ago.
We might have. I also remember you guys lending me the Maiden albums. I know that you lent me Killers and Made in Japan.
Okay.
That's how I got turned on to it, because when I was on the fence about what I would do after getting a pep talk from Paul about playing bass.
Right.
You and your brother were like, well, listen to this. Listen to this bass player. That's bass. Listen to him. And I remember listening to it. And at first I was like, I don't know. And then eventually I liked it. I remember getting the album for Christmas.
Okay.
So whatever year it is in 82.
Yeah.
I don't know. I remember you guys. I don't remember you guys having it. We might have gotten it together.
I'm almost positive you and I went to our music together. I'm almost positive, but I remember listening to that album in my room with somebody, and I'm pretty sure it was you, but it could be off. And being like, "Holy shit!"
So many albums together.
Yes, it's very true.
Doesn't matter. Even if you off an album, does it matter?
No, I don't think so. So we'll talk a little about the Iron Maiden's Number of the Beast, where it falls in the Maiden world, and some memories of the album. We'll get to that tonight. We got so much to get to, so much to talk about. The first thing I got to ask you, Jeff, is the immortal question that I always ask you, and that's, Jeff, how was your week?
Oh, it was a good week.
Yeah?
I only had 2 days.
Okay, that's good.
I was off for 3.
Well, that's nice.
Because I'm off for 2 more days in a row now.
Well, nice. You know,
that's pretty cool. Next week is going to suck because I got to work 5 days.
Oh, okay.
I was going to hit Lotto. And, you know, my wife was away for a few days.
Yes.
So it was just me and the dog hanging.
That's nice.
Well, we missed her.
Oh, of course.
I don't think the dog misses her, to tell you the truth.
No, the dog don't miss your wife.
No, the dog likes her when it's me and her.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Yes, hello.
Listen,
it is what it is.
So, Jeff, we got a guest coming up, Robert Giroux. I don't know if you know that name. He pops up on our show occasionally. He's Leonard Torricelli's, our cousin from Rosebank's, sound guy. They are working on an album. And I was a little up in the air. I'm not always great about guests and stuff. But he intrigued me because he's actually related to a very famous person, and I thought it'd be interesting to have him on the air to talk about it. So
it's always good to have guests.
Yeah,
right?
So we'll have Rob on in a few minutes, a little baseball with him. I have to ask, and I saw a whole bunch of the songs from the show last week. Jeff, how was the show? Looked like a good crowd. The band sounded pretty good.
Yeah, well, let me. I'm going to ask you what you thought. How's that?
I thought the set. What I really liked was the set list, because it was very all over the place, and not in a bad way. I mean that in a very good way.
It wasn't bad. I guess.
It
wasn't bad. It was there was a lot of factors.
There was.
Yeah, that kind of got me a little bit.
Oh really? Something you want to. Something you want to give us, you want to tell us about it?
I can elaborate with you.
Sure.
There was 3 bands that played.
Yes. I didn't see Johnny Collins. I did see a couple clips of the Iron Maiden band. Oh, the Iron Maiden, the Kiss band, the Kiss tribute band.
Yeah, they were all right, guys. And they sounded pretty good. But all of a sudden, the first thing, the bass player had a bass tech. Right there, I was like, oh, that's not good. So the bass tech went right over to the amp and just started fucking moving knobs all over the place. Before I was like, I was like, sound out the window.
Now, was this your bass amp, or this was some? Okay.
Yeah. Which I will never let anybody use my stuff again. Well, I shouldn't say not everybody. Certain people I'll let use my stuff.
I understood.
Yeah. And long story short, they fucked with the sound, and I couldn't really... didn't have time to really get a good sound after that, but I couldn't hear myself. Usually that's never, ever a problem, but that night, man.
I would tell you that normally you have no problem standing up. Having played next to you, whatever it is, 6, 8 times in a show, your bass comes through pretty good.
I want to make sure that your ball hair rattles.
Yes, and that is not a problem. Jimmy and I would stare at each other across the room, and we'd laugh because we'd be standing there and you'd hear his boom, boom. You'd hear it. Like, Jeff's got no problem tonight. He's on.
As long as I ain't making mistakes, it's no, good.
Yes, absolutely. And a good thing you don't. Hey, Leonard, how are you, brother?
Yes, man. How are you?
Was, other than that, it was all right. It was good. It was in the outside room.
I saw it.
So it was all right. It wasn't bad.
Okay. It was good for a first show. It's been a little while.
I could let you in on the secret.
Oh, finally. Jesus, thank God. Go ahead, please. Let us in on the secret.
You kind of guessed it a couple weeks ago.
I did?
Yes.
Okay. So why didn't you give it to, why couldn't you tell me? All right, so,
I couldn't tell you at the time.
All right, so what is the official secret?
There is no date as of yet, but there is a date for a show.
Okay.
May 28th, I will be playing along with their bass player now with 25 Missions at the Fleet Week.
Oh, okay.
Down in Stapleton someplace, wherever they're having the show.
Just for the record, who is the genius? Because I knew it. I saw the handwriting on the wall.
Well, what handwriting did you see on the wall? Meanwhile, nothing was released.
Well, because I saw, first of all, that they are playing. Two, I know that Tommy's is going to be leaving soon. And I knew that you're a good bass player who's played with them. Probably knows part of their set list already. And I said, what, 1 = 2 = 3? I got this. I knew it.
Yeah, I see... Why is my phone doing that?
I don't know. So
I'm not my phone, my watch. Anyway, yeah, so it's
good.
Once Tommy leaves, mm-hmm. I will slide in there full time. Right now, it's just...
Just a one-off?
You know, I'm going to play a couple songs and shows here and there.
Nice.
But we don't know what's going on overall, how much longer it's going to be. Tommy still has a house to sell. Sorry about that.
Gotcha. Well, listen, it's a... I know that you're always pumped to play and you get excited to do it, and I think that's terrific. So if that's another avenue for you, and you couldn't ask for two better guys, Billy and Bill are two of the nicest people I know and terrific musicians. So you guys were good before, you'll be good now, and I'm happy to hear it.
And I have something to tell you.
Go ahead.
I can't do it on the air.
Okay.
But I do have something to tell you. Breaking news. It was something that you would never believe.
Okay.
Well, I'm just telling you, so I'm going to make sure that you get in touch with me tomorrow.
Well, listen, I'm always around. You call me at whatever convenient for you, but I'm always interested in breaking Jeff news.
What I just wrote.
Okay, hold on a second. Really? Okay, now you're going to tell me, yeah, but is this big personal news to you?
Me?
Yeah. No. Okay, is it big personal news to me? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Bad?
Yeah, no.
What is that? I don't understand that last part. What does it mean, good? Good to?
Well, it's good for him.
Oh, it's good for Jimmy. It's good for that person.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. That's good news. I see that.
Totally addicted.
Good. Good for him. That's the big news?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I just thought it was big news after how many years.
Oh, yeah. Listen, he was. I can't tell you times I thought he was going to walk out of a practice and quit because we talked about playing out. You know, listen, I'm thrilled. I'm glad to hear it. I wish I had the time and the ability and all of that to do it. So. Yeah, well, that's the rub. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, that's the rub. I get it too. I see. We're having a little off-air conversation, Jeff. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, that is the tough part for me.
The last one.
All right, go ahead. Come on.
Where would I come up with that?
Yeah, you're right. You couldn't have made that up if you tried.
Yeah.
And this was told to you personally?
It was actually posted on Facebook.
Come on.
I swear to God, a while back.
Oh, I don't pay attention. Yeah, maybe you're right. On a binge, after a binge, maybe. He was at your show?
No.
Oh, excuse me.
No, that's why I got it.
Gotcha. Tell me after, yeah, that's all.
I didn't actually speak to him. I got this information secondhand.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, I'm glad. I am thrilled for it. So Good to hear on all ends. So I'm happy to hear.
I'm not too thrilled about it.
Why?
Because it took away something.
What's
from,
that?
From us. We were on the one impression.
Yeah.
And he went along the complete opposite, and it was like you went with, slept with the enemy.
No, I agree with that, and I would tell you, listen, I'm not telling you that caused me not to play or not wanting to. I don't know if I would be able to right now anyway, but yeah, it would definitely made it, you know, the more of the boys, the better for me, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but it is what it is. But listen, we got a lot to get to. Well, I'm kind of filling it in. I don't want to get too deep, but Jeff, we got a lot of topics tonight. We got the whole vaccine mandate easing up for athletes and performers. Yeah, I agree with you on that part. Yeah, what is there? Something was said, something done?
No, not at all.
Oh,
not at all.
Okay.
Lack of.
Oh, I got you. Yes, I got it. Yeah.
No reciprocation.
No. I get it. I don't pay attention to it at all. Very rarely do I ever even acknowledge it.
I hear you, but it's
so,
you know. I feel as though what I feel.
I know how you feel. Believe me. And listen, guys. Anyway, listen. We've done. This is our 532nd show.
No way.
This is number 532.
Holy shit.
That is correct. We've been doing this a long time. We're coming up on 8 years this July 31st. I don't know. I think I'm almost thinking that we should be doing something special for it, some sort of event. 8 years, but I don't know. We'll see. You know, things have lifted out there, all like we just talked about. We'll talk about more and more of that and as we get closer. But yeah, I'm thinking it needs to be some sort of a anniversary event. We got the big draft show coming up on April the 27th. We'll be doing it, of course, live. Whether Jeff comes down here or we do it on the thing together, we should be doing.
I'm leaning towards coming to visit.
All right. Well, listen, you're more than welcome. We'd love to have you. That you're always welcome. My wife will make some chili, and we can fart in the same room together.
There you go.
You can even bring your hat.
I'd come in full Jets gear.
Yeah, all right. Listen, you're more than welcome.
In fact, I'm going to come in full away uniform.
Full away.
White pants, white shirt, and hat.
That is a sight to be seen, I have to tell you. That would be a sight to be seen.
I would like to announce something else for the show.
Please.
We are going to try our best to have a trivia show contest.
Yes.
Very soon, and I think this is an absolute must. I have two people in mind and a possible third.
Okay.
Which I would have to go with, give you ideas over the off the air.
I said it to you off the air that I think it should be a baseball trivia contest based on the people we discussed.
Yes.
You hosting.
There's a dark horse coming.
Oh, a dark horse.
A dark horse.
Did you find Matt? Did you find Matty Sozio someplace?
No. Even if he was lost, I was on the back of a milk cart. I wouldn't even acknowledge it.
Okay.
You know, you know what got me about him?
Go ahead. Let's
talk Rosebank Sports real quick.
Sure.
We used to play
mm-hmm.
in Rosebank.
Yep.
Now, I know that I wasn't the greatest basketball player. I was probably one of the worst basketball
players. No, I disagree. I disagree with that. Just remember one thing. You, me, and Joey played every, whatever, Tuesday night or Wednesday night or whatever night of the week it was at PS 13, and we played for months and months and months, years, and we only lost one time. So don't ever – you were a better athlete than you give yourself credit for.
Whatever.
I'm just telling you.
Well, when Matty Boy was playing
– yes.
I remember him coming and he'd be like, hey, well, you play half and I play half. And I was always like, all right, you know, okay. But I was like, how did I get picked? You know, and like a couple times we butted heads about it because I was like, I said something to him and he would get pissed off. And then mm-hmm. I was like, all right, fine, just go in and everything else. But I wanted to ask him, like, why me, Matty? Where I don't understand. I was taller than Joey and Tommy.
Matty was one of those guys, and our guest is up. We'll get him on in a second. But Matty was one of those guys, and there was a lot of guys like Matt in the neighborhood who weren't the greatest players in the world. But if you went to Calthamize Park on a Saturday afternoon or DeMatty sometimes, or you know, at PS 13, you could find a football game or a basketball game. I mean, you'd see some of the best players in the neighborhood, the Al Bedfords and Mike Pepe and Scotty McLean. And, you know, all those guys were great ball players, and you could go down there and we played. And, you know, that was the best part of growing up, is that if you wanted to go to studio, there was a bunch of musicians hanging around waiting to play. If you wanted to go to Kaltenmeyer's or Von Breezen Park and play football or wiffle ball or softball, man, it was you could play any day of the week.
There.
Huh?
And, you know, say the opportunity was there. I agree. Yeah. And not for nothing, you bring up Patty. I mean, let's get serious for a minute. I don't think there was anybody that played as hard as Matty did.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
He tried and then kept trying.
Yep.
You know, he just wanted, he always wanted to play and get better and everything else. Say what you want about him. The guy always tried. Always,
no, absolutely.
Always tried.
I agree. Listen, other than the cocoon mustache thing, I was okay with Matty. You remember that?
No.
You don't remember that? He would get, when it was cold out and we were playing football, he would get this.
Oh, no.
You remember?
No.
Yes.
Oh, that was big.
I don't remember Matty being a Red Sox fan. I remember being a big Dolphin fan. That I remember.
Right. He was a Red Sox fan.
Really? All right. I don't remember that for some reason. I do remember being a big Miami Dolphin fan. That was his.
You know why? Because I remember him vaguely being a Red Sox fan.
Okay.
But I of course, it was more the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
Because we only really played basketball when he was around. We didn't. I mean, basketball and football, we didn't have a space and enough people to really play a competitive softball game.
No, we did. We remember you used to play against Santino and his crowd up at DeMatty's. For a couple of summers, we played them quite a bit. Chris Sweeney.
It wasn't 9-on-9.
Yes, it was. Oh, no, it was. Yes, I'm telling you. I can give you the lineup. I can even give you who played with John Lombardo played first. I think Joey played third. Paul played second. I think the outfield was you, your brother, and I can't think who was the third guy in the outfield. Could have been Paul out there. We played 8-on-8, 7-on-7 quite a bit, maybe 9-on-9 the occasion. But no, we had some big softball games. Not as much as I would have liked it, but no, we played a lot. But a lot, you're right, a lot of times we were threes on threes. We used to play Jimmy Sleen. And
fucking names, man.
Remember Jimmy Sleen?
Yeah, of course.
Jimmy Sleen and Enzo DeLuca and somebody else against me, you, and Joey down at.
I remember the Sleens. Yeah. They used to were based out of St. Mary's Avenue.
Yes.
They were only they were coming to visit, and then they ended up living there. And
oh, really?
I think it's still down there.
Oh, really?
I would say that I seen Jimmy Sleen probably within the last 15 to 20 years.
I hated him and he hated me. And I remember playing softball in one of the leagues I played in, and he played. And I remember in the game trying to break his leg on a breaking up a double play. Like, I went in and I said, I'm going to break this fucking guy's leg. And I tried. I went in as hard as I could. I knocked him down. I never forget to this day. I didn't break his leg, but I fucking tried. I just, for some reason, he might have been the nicest guy in the whole world, but I was a dick and I hated him. He hated me.
I never had a problem with him. They came from elsewhere. I don't know where they came from.
Yeah, could have been the nicest guy in the whole world.
I don't think it was Staten Island.
Oh, no?
And I think they were like a year or two older than us. They were slightly older than us.
I agree with you on that. Yeah.
And I think he had an older brother and a younger brother.
That I remember. But I remember playing softball down at the parking lot across from St. Mary's.
We played a lot there. Christine Morio's house.
Correct. That was like if you hit the house, it was a home run or something. I forget the ground rules, but it was.
Nobody ever hit a home run.
I actually think Jimmy Sleen might have hit a home run or two on that, but none of us hit a home run there. But we played a lot of softball, a lot of stuff down there, and that's why I'm excited for Lenny and his big Rosebank album. I'm going to get Robert on now, talk a little bit about that, and I want you to find out the very famous person that Robert is related to. And I think it was I just had a million questions when I heard it. So let's get Robert on and talk a little bit about music and a little baseball and a little bit about his famous family. Hey, Robert.
Hey, how you doing? Tom, Jeff.
How are you, pal?
All right.
Rob, so I don't know where to start. I think we're going to start with a little bit of baseball. Then we'll get to talk about the album. And then okay. I'm going to hold your famous relative to the end. How's that?
You got it.
Okay. So let's talk a little baseball. Obviously, we're all excited. It's getting started. We do have some of the crazy rules still left over. What is your impression of what we just went through with the lockout and the deal that was made? And, are you okay with another year of the runner on second during the extra innings? Did the whole Shohei Ohtani new rule they have? What do you think?
I'm good with all that. As long as, they have good games and, they play a good season.
Okay.
With the lockout and everything, I wasn't so sure when they went into the lockout and, what was the deal with that. But, at least we have baseball. At least we have entertainment out there that's helping us.
Okay.
Through the tough times right now.
Absolutely. Now, with the Yankees, I mean, obviously the big news is everybody is going to get to play. Doesn't matter if they're vaccinated or not vaccinated. Are you upset that the Yankees haven't signed Aaron Judge? Do you think they're being prudent? The guy's missed a lot of time. Are you happy? You think they should wait and get a good deal? Do you feel like they're disrespecting him by not signing him to a long-term deal?
Oh, they should wait and see if they can get a good deal. That way, they know where they're going with the players and who they're signing and everything.
I agree with you. As a Yankee fan, you want them to be prudent. Not a lot of big signings in the offseason. Right now the biggest one obviously is probably Rizzo. They didn't go out and get Freeman. They didn't go out and they tried to get Verlander. They didn't get Verlander. They didn't get any of the big shortstops. What do you think of the team right now? You think they have what they need to win the division? Everybody's gotten better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as they show good sports, they can go far away with this thing.
I agree with you. Yep, I agree with you. So let's talk a little bit about the album. Tell me a little bit about what you and Lenny are working on.
My question first.
Sure.
I have an old-time baseball card. Now, who was an old Yankee that you can remember back in 66?
Wow, 66 Yankees. Well, I guess I have to do some thinking. That's kind of like in the in-between years, Jeff. That's kind of like after the Mantle years and before the Thurman Munson Yankees.
66, didn't Mantle play to like 69?
Yeah, Mantle's there. Whitey Ford's there. You're talking about Mel Stottlemyre's there. You're talking about, I think, Roy White's on that team. Whitey Ford's around. Charlie Silvestri. I'd have to really do some thinking there, Rob. Not 66.
Yeah, it's on the back of the card.
Rob, I think you're a little off on that. Reggie, I think, if I'm not mistaken,
Reggie Jackson didn't play
77.
1966.
Yeah, 1977, Rob. I think you're a little off, but that's okay. That's all right. All right.
And then I also, because speaking about Lenny that we got to go into.
Right.
He got me this autographed ball from Bill Harabny.
Oh, Bill Harabny, sure.
And then I just found his old rookie card that Lenny's going to help me send it to him, autograph it, and then resend it back to me. And then I'm going to put it in a nice plastic glass case.
Nice.
With the ball.
Nice. Good for you. Bill's a nice player. He was a good player. I'm actually friends with him on Facebook. He's a nice man. I'm sure he's a nice guy. But trying to get him on the show. But we'll see how maybe Lenny can pull some strings with Bill and get him on the show for me and Jeff to talk to him. But we'll see how that plays out. So hold on, I got a little message. I think I had no messages coming through. So tell me a little bit about the album. What you guys are working on?
Well, the much as I can say right now about the album, it's dedicated to Rosebank,
uh-huh.
And it's a lot of good Frank Sinatra rare songs that Lenny's putting together that's going to be out there for Rosebank tribute, for Rosebank.
Sure.
And, he's also dedicating the album to two very special places. I think one of them is Bella Bean Cafe.
Okay, sure.
And the second one is to East Shore Little League baseball field.
Two places near and dear to Jeff and I. Bella Beans, I think that's one of DeRoss's, right? Is it John?
Yeah.
John DeRoss. I see him on Facebook. And I played my little league career down at 5 or 6 years down at East Shore Little League. So I'm a big fan of the league. And, you know, I like to go to the South Shore myself sometimes.
And we also have these new shirts that we're going to be tributing.
Oh, very nice. So that's a little, I see it. Very nice. We'll get that out to the people. Maybe they'll give them some websites or a place they can buy that shirt. When will the new album be out, Rob?
Sometime early September or late September.
Okay, and
you know, because it's in the works. We just, you know, had a lot of time on our hands and we couldn't, you know, do everything back to back, and it's like trying to get the audio right.
Absolutely.
Put a CD that way people can really listen to a good album.
I agree. Hard Rock and Sports is here. That's Rob is stopping by to talk a little bit about the new upcoming album for Rosebank. Rob will be helping out our good friend and Rosebank cousin, Lenny Torricelli. So our good friend Lenny's out there working hard. He's got a great voice. I hope you guys will all support it. But you're here with Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom. We're here every Thursday night. 7 to 9, 9:30. We do our thing each week. Then this is, like I said, guys, this is our 532nd show, and thanks for being part of it. Okay, Rob. So last thing for me. So the album's going to come out. Lenny's going to do some dates to promote it. That's terrific. Maybe you can get on the Dina Martin show. That would be great to promote that. But tell Jeff, because this is one of the perks of having you. But tell Jeff who your famous cousin is.
Well, before I get into that, I have a very special person that's listening tonight, and he's watching it. He's watching as well because I told him I give him a little say hello.
Sure.
To Vinny Medullo.
Okay.
He's a best friend of mine.
Oh, well, welcome to the show, Vinny. There you go, Robert. Good for you.
Now, Jeff.
Yes.
Looking at my expression, who I am, who would you think I would look resemblance a little bit of?
Well, it's hard to say. Give me a hint. How about a hint?
Let's try an old-time TV show.
Old-time TV show?
Say, go back to 19, maybe 40.
1940? Fred Astaire?
Nah.
Too far back?
Not too far. Well, that's it.
Say another hint. Late night comedy.
Worked with his brothers. How's that?
Groucho Marx, the Marx Brothers?
Oh, no. Not far off, though, Jeff. You're not far off.
Not the Three Stooges. The Three Stooges were
there you go.
Jeffrey.
You go.
All right. We're getting closer.
Mo was my father's uncle's cousin. That's one of the pictures of what Mo's son sent me. That's Mo's son in the box, and that's Mo right there.
Okay, that's cool.
So growing up, did your father have any stories about Mo? Did he ever meet him? Did he ever get to meet him?
They met him plenty of times, hanged out backstage. You know, the list goes on and on and on. And but just to let you know that the movie that came out a couple of years ago.
Yep.
That they had on MTV and
The
Three Stooges family had nothing to do with that movie, absolutely none.
I would say I never watched the movie, but the casting was terrible, so I wouldn't doubt it. It was bad.
Yeah, usually they run it by the family and let the family, you know.
Yeah, of course. Of course, yeah, that's sad. But listen, everybody knows the Three Stooges one of the funniest sets. I mean, some of the funniest things ever. You know, Jeff, I'm sure, is a big Three Stooges fan. Jeff's a big fan of that era of comedy with the Laurel and Hardy. Right, Jeff?
Yeah, some of that stuff, yeah. Ortiz, man, how are you?
Hey, Mario.
Seen you in a while.
Yeah, I haven't seen Mario around in a while. Nice to see everybody popping in tonight. Wendy and Leonard and Mario's popping in. Nice to hear. They say one of Staten Island's best singers doing his thing out there.
You know what's amazing?
Yeah.
All of those comedians back then.
Yep.
Abbott and Costello, Laurel and Hardy, the Three Stooges, and we could go on and name a whole bunch of others.
Sure.
They went out and did comedy that would never It would never make it in today's world.
No, would never work today.
They didn't use any kind of sexual stuff, nothing. It was straight up. I don't. Is the word corny comedy?
Probably. But,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever's campy comedy or something. Yeah. And it was, they were sitting on top of the world as they were doing it.
Absolutely. Funny. You know? Some of the funniest comedy. Listen, I could still to this day watch Abbott Costello's Who's on First today and laugh as hard as I did 40 years ago when I heard it the first time. And I've seen it and heard it hundreds and hundreds of times. And I'll laugh every time I see it.
How about when he was the vacuum cleaner salesman?
Oh, yes. Susquehanna Hat Company.
He did something like he added the numbers up and it made total fucking sense. Total sense.
Yes.
But you know what? There's a movie out there that I don't know if you ever seen it, but it was filmed in the 90s. And still to today, I watch it and say to myself, even when these little kids play at East Shore Little League and all these other games that they perform, like Harlem RBI and all that other good stuff.
Sure.
One of these days, one of those kids are going to run the team when they're 16 years old.
Yeah.
And the movie that I'm referring to
is
Little Big League.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Good movie. I've watched it 100 times. Very, very good movie. Tim Curry.
Jason Roberts.
I think I'm thinking the guy who plays Collins. I have to get a guy's name. Busfield. Timothy Busfield. There you go.
Yeah.
I got it. There you go. Good movie. Loved it. Yep. Became a good friend. Good for you, Leonard. Hopefully you get on her show to promote the album. Maybe she'll have you on, let you do a little singing like you can. But we love having you guys. And Rob, I want to thank you for spending a little time with Jeff and me. And when the album's ready to pop up, I hope you'll come back and hang with us a little bit longer. And maybe we'll talk a little more baseball. And you're welcome anytime, my brother.
No problem. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're very welcome. Yeah, Robin, good luck. Hey, have you guys got a website? Anything you want to promote? Anything you want to – social media, anything?
Nah, nothing big like that yet.
Okay. When you're ready to do that, you let us know, pal.
You got it. Thank you.
All right, Robin. Be good, brother.
Later.
Hey, that's Robin Giroux, and he's working with Lenny Torricelli. Of course, if you played at East Shore Little League or a Rosebank, you know that name. Torricelli name is famous at the complex. And, again, registration is April 9th. You got demoted. I don't know how you got demoted. Nice to have Rob on and talk a little bit.
Here's some good news. Mario Ortiz is getting back in the game. Mario's been between COVID and then the untimely loss of Dave Weeks.
Yes, yes.
So they just set back to Mario's old band, the JWB band. It'd be nice to see Mario get back out there, a great talent. You know, a very cool guy. I was able to jam with Dave and Mario once. I don't know if you remember that, Mario, a few years back. And it was cool. It wasn't going to work out at the time. But you know what? A younger guy, it's nice to see an influx of some younger musicians in the Staten Island scene.
Yep, absolutely.
So hopefully he picks up where a lot of other people left off and keeps it going. So good luck to you, Mario, whatever it is you're doing.
Good luck, Mario. Welcome. Let us know when you're he's related to three brothers of the same name. Lenny, I think you're behind the scenes on that one, Lenny. You're a little late on that one. We got, yes, he definitely is. We talked about the Howards, Mo Howard and Shemp Howard and Curly. And
then the other one was a cousin, right?
Larry Fine, I don't think it was a cousin. I think there was another cousin. One of the other Curlys, I think, was a cousin, I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
It was Mo, Larry, and Curly.
Right.
Shemp
was a brother.
Shemp was a brother.
And then Curlys.
Larry might not have been a brother.
No, Larry Fine was not a brother. Then one of the other Curlys, Curly Joe Bessa, there was a couple of Curlys beside the real Curly, and one of them I think was a cousin, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah, but
Larry, if here's the problem with going to shows, and Tommy will back me up on this one. You may not notice for a number of years, but once you get into your mid-50s, 6:30, 7 o'clock on a Saturday night, I'm fighting to stay awake to eat dinner.
I'll tell you fast. So Saturday night, so I've been working in the spare room of my house for the last 3 weeks. So Saturday, I worked my entire schedule so that way I would not be working so I can go to the show Saturday night. I was going to surprise Jeff and come. I didn't want to tell him I was coming because I didn't know what was going to happen. So I do everything I got to do, and I'm all done, and I'm all showered, and it's like 7 o'clock, and I'm going, I got to sit here for a while. So I'm sitting there, and as the longer I sit, I go, all right, I can't do this. I'm just too tired. And I was dozing off on the couch, and I'm going, all right, I can't. I wound up getting a second wind at like 10:30, and I wound up painting. I primed my spare room, but I was so exhausted. The thought of driving all the way back to Staten Island at that moment put the heebie-jeebies on.
Driving to Staten Island wouldn't have been the problem. Driving back home.
Yeah. I was exhausted. I said, I wish he was playing at 8. I'd leave the house right now. I'm good to go.
Yeah, everybody does. Oh. And, you know, that's one thing that I do not understand. Okay, if you played in a band and on Staten Island, they want you to start 9:30, 10 o'clock. Okay, and they want you to play till like 2, 3 in the morning. That is a phenomenal amount of material that you need to know.
Oh, yeah.
And the best part is, nobody is there for your third set.
Oh, God, no. No.
Okay? They should let the band start playing at 8:30. Have an oldies night. Who the fuck cares?
But that's the thing I don't understand.
8:30. Yeah, and so what? You get a DJ for the rest of the night.
But even so, you got to know that by 12, 1 o'clock, let's say 1:30, people are already going home. Who cares? Get them in earlier and get the money then. Who cares when you get it? If you get it at 8 o'clock or you get it at 10 o'clock, get the money. To me, I would have been there, and I would have been the first guy in the door if you had been on at 8 o'clock. I was so – by 9 o'clock, my eyes are doing this. I'm going, I'm sorry. I was like, oh, my God, I can't do this. I said, I want to go, but I'm just so exhausted. I did the same thing when I was going to go see Jimmy play a few weeks ago, and I was exhausted. And they were going on early. I think they were 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Listen, I understand they have a business to run and everything else, and it's understandable. They got to do what they need to do to make money. But, yeah, you're right. I know that I could get more people to come to a show if the earlier that I started. That's why when we were doing the benefits, we would start so much earlier.
Oh, yeah.
And there would be people, maybe it wasn't the biggest crowd.
Oh, yeah, decent crowds, yeah.
We had a decent crowd throughout the day. It was a steady crowd.
Absolutely. I just don't understand it. But either way, I'm glad you played. I got to hear a bunch of the tunes. Let's see what I hear. I heard three or four songs. Twisted Sister, right?
Yeah. Can't Kill Rock and Roll.
Did you guys do an STP song?
Rackerman.
Saw that. Guns. Did you guys do a Guns song?
No, we did Slither. Hold on.
I think I saw four songs. Was there a Dio song in there mixed in?
No Dio. We did Lit Up. And Crazy Bitch from...
I saw Crazy Bitch from... Buck Cherry, right?
Time, which is a Pink Floyd song, but we did it the Godsmack way.
I didn't see that.
You Can't Stop Rock and Roll.
I saw that. I saw that one.
A Dirty White Boy from Foreigner, which is actually a pretty fun song to play.
I didn't see that. No, I saw four.
And the Sandman.
I saw that one. That's one I saw. Okay, yep.
The Cracker Man.
Saw that one.
Dirty Deeds, Slither.
Didn't see Dirty Deeds.
And Wood from Alice in Chains.
Yeah, I saw at least three of those songs, for sure. But, yeah, listen, it sounded nice. It seemed like a decent crowd. I saw Lisa Yano posted one of the songs I watched. So,
yeah, Lisa and her husband came.
Yep, so good. I'm glad you got to play, and I am excited that you're going to be playing again with the guys from 25 Missions. They're some of my favorite people, so I'm very happy that that's and just for the record, I guessed it right off the bat. That was my first guess.
Yes, you did, but I couldn't give it to you that fast. I needed to have an air of mystery.
Yeah, you're an air of mystery, all right. Yeah. I'm wondering how you get through life with that brain, but that's all right. That's okay. But listen, Jeff, we got a lot to talk about. We haven't touched on any sports. It's now 8:05.
Yeah, can we get into something, man?
Let's
please
do it. Here we go. Here we go, Jeff. Let's get ready here. All right, I'm going to go right to this. Jeff, this is the craziest offseason of football I have ever seen. Trades in football are like they just never happen. Big trades never happen. And this week alone, we had Deshaun Watson traded, Matt Ryan was traded, and out of nowhere, Tyreek Hill gets traded That also goes to show with a couple weeks ago when Russell Wilson got traded. Jeff, is this the craziest offseason you've ever seen?
Yes, and a lot of those moves made a lot of sense to me. Houston had to get rid of Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
But you want to know something? Real quick, just bear with me real second.
Go for it.
Then you had – they got to get rid of him. Now he goes to the Browns. Now all of a sudden, Baker Mayfield may be lucky if he's even in the NFL next year.
Yeah, it seems like he's being punished right now.
I do not understand that.
I do understand it.
We'll get back to that one in a second.
Sure, go on.
The Russell Wilson trade we saw coming.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
There was a couple other moves that you could see coming. Why in God's name would Kansas City trade maybe possibly the fastest player in the NFL and take away a receiver from Patrick Mahomes, who now I feel as though that the Kansas City stock has now dropped in that division? Okay?
Uh-huh.
I would say at this point in time, to me, uh-huh, Kansas City is a second-place team.
Okay, fair. I can weigh in on that if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, so here's what I think. And I've said this all week to myself, and I talk to myself a lot. The problem is all of these big contracts they're giving to the quarterbacks are having very bad, very negative effects on the rest of the team. I mean, you know, the Packers signed Aaron Rodgers to a big deal. They can't sign Davante Adams. You can't give two guys almost half the money of your team.
Aaron Rodgers, he had to know that that move was going to happen.
He did.
How do you sign and think that you're going to have your best number one receiver? And didn't they just got rid of their second receiver?
Correct. Yeah, listen. And
the
Tyreek Hill, you can look up and just say they're paying Patrick Mahomes $50 million. If you give this kid nearly 30, he got, 4 years, $120 million, so $30 million. If you give him 30, it's $80 million of $208 million to two players. Jeff.
And that's insane.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane.
Yeah.
But you know what? You got Travis Kelce,
mm-hmm,
who's going to be 32 years old.
Right.
Okay. How long is this guy going to play?
Good question.
And Tyreek Hill used to do the same run and play. He go up, he cut across towards the middle of the field. They hit him on the run, and then he go back up straight. Travis Kelce used to run, go across the field, and always, like, these guys were just same play, dink and dunk passes all game long, and they were cutting chunks and chunks and chunks of yards. Now you took that away.
Yeah.
You got Juju Schuster-Smith in Kansas City.
Yep.
Where I don't know. I don't think that he's going to.
No, he's not going to be Tyreek Hill. They'll still be good, but I agree with you, Jeff. You know, that division's gotten very tough, and they are, I'd say at this moment, if I was picking, and we're going to do that in a couple of weeks, we're going to kind of start breaking down the divisions before the draft. I will tell you that they've taken a step back now. They have given themselves, but now you got to think of it. They've given themselves quite a bit of cap room, and they've also given themselves three picks this year. And I got to tell you, what Miami's thinking of giving up five draft picks and then giving them $120 million to play with a quarterback that, Jeff, I'm not sure can take that team past the playoffs in a tough division. So what would Miami Dolphins thinking about giving up five draft picks for this guy?
You know what I'm thinking?
Go ahead.
I'm thinking that Miami Dolphins,
yeah,
first of all, five picks. A lot of picks.
One, two, a four, right?
Three number, no, that was it three number threes?
Well, it was this year they get a one, a two, and a four.
Okay, and what are the other three?
And then next year, let's see, 2004, two, and four, and then two picks next year. I think they're a three and a five or a three and a four next year.
So they really didn't give up premium picks.
One, two, and a four this year is a lot.
A two and a four round.
One, two, and a four, that's a lot of picks.
You're going to tell me that you're going to get an impact player in the first or second round of this year's draft and compare him to Tyreek Hill?
No, I don't. But do you think that Tyreek Hill comes to that team and makes that diff? Has he come there now and made them the second-best team in that division?
Has he come and made them the second-best team in that
division? Yeah. You think they're better right now than the Patriots? With Tua at quarterback?
Yes.
Wow, okay. All right.
Yes, I'll tell you why.
Go ahead.
Because I believe Tyreek Hill, if he stays out of trouble, is the kind of receiver that, because of his speed, is going to turn around and tell Tua, put the ball here. That's where I want the ball. You throw the ball there, I'm going to get the ball. You just put it where I'm telling you to put it. Could be wrong, of course, but if I'm not saying that they're going to go win a Super Bowl or they're going to make it to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I got you.
Be wrong. But I firmly see them definitely getting into the playoffs this year.
Listen, I won't doubt that. I mean, I think you're going to get I think the AFC West and the AFC East got a little tougher. The North, I don't know. I mean, listen, let's run it through a little bit here. I mean, so the AFC North now gets Deshaun Watson, who knows if he's going to play or not. I mean, right now they just have convened another grand jury on him.
He's going to play another grand jury cleared him.
Oh, they did. Okay. So now he's going to get suspended. Maybe it's going to be 4 games. Some people say it's going to be 6 games. I don't know. He'll probably plead it down, maybe wind up with 3 games.
First of all, how can they suspend him if 2 grand juries have cleared him of all charges? I don't understand it. Why would he get suspended?
He has to get suspended.
Why?
Because, again, I'm not disagreeing with you, Jeff, to a certain extent, but if they don't, the backlash is going to be tremendous. Let's put it this way. The guy didn't play last year, but he got paid every nickel he got.
And nobody fucking protested it last year. He was getting paid.
I got it. He wasn't playing. Now he's going to go. He just got a $230 million fully guaranteed contract. Unheard of. This is like shockwaves through the NFL. He got $230 million completely guaranteed. And they reworked his contract. So the first year, he gets like a $45 million signing bonus. And his contract pay for the first year is like $1 million. That way,
he's getting some insane amount of money.
Yes. But he gets $45 million in his pocket as a bonus. And then he gets a $1 million salary. So that way, if the NFL suspends him, they can only go after the $1 million per game. Because if they had given him like a $25 million, they could have eaten up a piece of the 25. So not only did they give him a fully guaranteed contract, they gave him a contract where if he gets suspended, basically they get next to no money out of him. So
you know what I would do if I was him?
What would you do?
He's making this kind of money, and they're willing to pay him. How much did he get? $230 million.
$230 million.
And he's playing for.
I want to say it's a 4-year deal, but
right, 4-year deal. I would turn around and say this is the salary I want. I want $1 million year one, $1 million year two, $1 million year three, $1 million year four. Okay.
Okay.
The other $226 million payable when I hit 55 years old.
You want the Bobby Bonilla deal? Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I get it.
You know, this year way by that time. Some of these people are going to get Tommy Wick for money.
Yeah.
This is a young man.
Yeah.
He can't be getting on $1 million a year.
But I'll say it again. I still don't understand it. I mean, they gave up 3 number 1 picks to get him, along with something else. I think a number 3 pick or something. Didn't even ask for Baker Mayfield back, right? Didn't even ask for a quarterback back. So that's how bad right now Baker Mayfield's thought of. So they gave him 3 number 1 picks. And I got to be honest with you, I don't think the guy's all that good. I think he's not a bad player. Good night, Leonard. Have a great night, pal. I don't think he's that good that you'd want to make this deal. I don't see it. But now all the quarterbacks are in the AFC, Jeff.
Yes, they are.
Wow, it's just the weirdest thing. So, now the floodgates open. Matt Ryan gets traded, and he goes to the Colts, who traded Wentz to the Redskins. Marcus Mariota signs a 2-year deal to be the starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. Never saw that coming. Jameis Winston goes back to the Saints. And right now, what's the other one? I'm missing one somewhere. I'm missing one.
Seattle has no quarterback.
So right now you're still with Seattle with no quarterback. The Carolina Panthers have Sam Darnold, they're going to draft a quarterback. Yes, he is.
Now, here's something I want you to tell me.
Yeah.
I want you to tell me that Drew Lock,
yep,
who got traded, right?
Uh-huh.
Where did he go?
I think he went to Seattle in the Russell Wilson deal.
Seattle, that's right. Seattle. Teddy Bridgewater signed with somebody?
Teddy Bridgewater is in Miami backing up Tua.
Okay, so he's in Miami, and he's probably happy as a bigger chip that he's on a team.
Yep.
Carson Wentz.
Is in Washington.
Tyrod Taylor.
Is backing up Daniel Jones.
Just some names I'm throwing around. Mm-hmm. Sam Darnold.
Right now is a starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers.
A lot of people think that these people, mm-hmm. these guys that I just mentioned, better option than Baker Mayfield.
That tells you a lot to what you, right now. People think he's a cancer. You know, people don't, you know, a lot of guys he plays with don't like him. But you know what, and he makes a lot of money. He's been injured a little bit. I will tell you, he's better than most of those guys in my book. I don't love Baker Mayfield as a quarterback, but I think he's.
I have to duck into the other room. Right,
guys, what do you think? So yeah, Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom, we're talking a little bit about the quarterback carousel that's been spinning and spinning and spinning. I think it's almost over. Just got to figure out who's going to be the quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks this year. And then we're still talking about the San Francisco 49ers and will they trade Jimmy G? I think at this point I'm going to count on Jimmy G is going to get traded. I got to be honest with you. I think Jimmy G is heading out of town, if you're asking me. It's interesting. But guys, we got the NCAA tournament this weekend. Make sure you check out Duke playing game 3, trying to get to the Elite 8 for Saturday, Sunday. And then a big game to try to get to the Final 4 for Coach K. So St. Peter's, the feel-good story. You're not a huge fan, but God, if they get through Purdue, boy, you got to look out for St. Peter's. Let's see what else we got going on. We'll talk about the vaccine mandate in a minute. Let's see. Yep. I want to commend a little bit the Jets and what they've done. Guys, make sure you check out Hard Rock Sports every Thursday night. Jeff and Tom here doing our thing. We're going to have some guests. We have a guest coming up next weekend, next Thursday. And look out for the Sunday Audible. We're going to be making a couple appearances here and there during the football season. So much to talk about football-wise, it'd be nice to have a show for an hour with bringing our good buddy John Marhepka back and doing a couple of those. So we'll maybe do one of those in April right before the draft, and then, of course, Jeff and I will be together one way or the other, whether we'll be sitting here watching it or in the same room together we'll be watching the NFL draft on the 27th. So stick around. Lots to talk about still. The quarterback carousel.
Yeah, I want to go back to that Baker Mayfield.
So go ahead.
You had the Giants picking up Tyrod Taylor.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Who is not a long-term solution at quarterback. And I don't even think it's going to be to push Daniel Jones. I think that Daniel Jones has a couple bad games. I think that Daniel Jones is out. And next year, the Giants are looking for a whole new quarterback situation.
Oh, I would agree with that, sure.
Okay. The Pittsburgh Steelers
mm-hmm.
signing Mitch Trubisky, who hasn't played in a year. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Atlanta Falcons, who are going with Marcus Mariota over Ryan,
mm-hmm.
Matthew Ryan.
Yeah.
Okay. Who, I'm like, I don't know about that one. There's another one that sat for a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was strictly a money thing.
Okay.
Yep.
The 49ers still haven't done anything with Jimmy Garoppolo. Now what are you going to do with him? Other than release them, there's nothing that you can do.
Well, there's two teams that still need quarterbacks, Jeff, the Seahawks.
Okay.
And they just got a whole bunch of stuff from Denver, so they could make a move there. And Carolina Panthers are going to need a quarterback. Problem with them is they're stuck with Sam Darnold's $18 million this year.
Yeah,
so
I know.
That's insane. Yeah, so, in Houston, even though I know they're going with Davis Mills, they could be a player in a Jimmy G move. So there's some stuff going on out there that could still happen. And, you know, the carousel's still got to swing. I mean, somebody's got to be the quarterback in Seattle next year. I don't know who it's going to be. I think it's going to be Baker.
Where do you think Baker Mayfield goes?
I think it's Seattle.
What are they waiting for?
Because they don't want to trade for him. Right now, he stole the property of the Cleveland Browns.
I understand that.
So they all know that they can't – you know, there's no way that Cleveland's going to go into the season with Baker Mayfield. So they – why trade for the guy? Why trade for him? Think about it. If you're Seattle, there's only one or two landing spots. The landing spot that makes the most sense beside them is Carolina, but Carolina can't pay him because they've got to pay Sam Darnold $18 million.
Carolina has – I just read earlier that they're out of the Baker Mayfield sweepstakes.
Yeah, so if you're Seattle, you're the only game in town unless somehow San Francisco is going to either trade or release Garoppolo, and then Garoppolo winds up at Seattle, and Baker Mayfield maybe rides the pine behind Trey Lance. But where else in the league is he going to go?
Unless the 49ers told Garoppolo that we're not going with the Trey Lance this year. You're going to keep him another year.
That's possible too.
Isn't he out of guaranteed money?
I don't know. I don't know where he's at that point. I think the answer is yes. I think the answer is if they dumped him or traded him, his money's off the books and they're good to go. I just think they're afraid. I don't think they believe in Trey Lance, and I don't blame them. I didn't believe in him with the draft last year. We talked about it.
Yeah, but then why draft him when you did?
Well, again, because you drafted him doesn't mean that he can't get ready. Maybe he's not ready now. I mean, he was a work in progress. Maybe they figure he needs a couple of years. That's against the grain.
There hasn't been a quarterback drafted in the first round since I don't know when that was given. Maybe Aaron Rodgers that was afforded a couple of years to learn in the current system.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
right.
I know that the coaches and general manager over there in the 49ers land got a 6-year deal, but what are they in the middle of it? What are they in year three now?
I think so. Three or four, yeah. Four. Yeah, maybe going to year four.
Okay. So, you're talking that this team hasn't really rose above what they were. And if anything, because of what they once were or people once thought of them, they lost a coach and a few players.
Yep.
So, you got Robert Saleh. Is now the coach Sala, greatest coach in the AFC East right now, as we speak.
Keep going. Right.
On this Thursday night, the 24th of March, 2022. Anyway, what have they done? What have they done? So how much longer are you going to let Trey Lance ride behind Jimmy G, knowing that you're not keeping Jimmy G long term? And sooner or later, I don't understand it. Let these guys play to see where you have to go after a quarterback next year.
You want to know my theory? I'll give you my theory. I think the San Francisco 49ers thought that Tom Brady was going to either get released or traded or whatever, and that when Tom Brady retired, that was a ploy to get himself off out of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and to San Francisco. And they thought that was going to be their backup plan. They would make the trade for Brady, release or trade Garoppolo. Brady plays another year, maybe gets two, and Trey Lance stays behind Brady for another year or so very easily because he's the GOAT and the kid ain't going to have a problem. Now they got stuck because Brady came back and Tampa Bay said, we ain't getting ready. You're going to play football here next year. So I think that was their plan, and now they're trying to figure it out because, here's the thing. That's a team who's – I don't think they're a great team, but they were within a few plays of San Francisco. They were a couple plays away from being in the Super Bowl this year. So their timeline is running out. You got another year or so.
Yeah, but you want to know something? The whole NFC West is not what it was. Looking at it right now is not what it was last year at this time. Okay, you got questions. Well, what are they going to do with all the quarterbacks in San Francisco? You got questions in Seattle, who is the quarterback?
Yeah.
You can't tell me it's Drew Lock.
No.
And then you got Kyler Murray throwing a hissy fit.
Oh, yeah.
And taking his ball and going home and never saying that he plays for the Arizona Cardinals in Arizona.
Yep.
But last season, this was a which one of these teams, one of them is not going to make the playoffs. Who's it going to be? They were playing.
Yeah, now you're lucky if there's one good team in that division right now.
Yeah.
And we all know about the curse and all that for the Super Bowl. So, right now I know the Rams are a little hurting. They're trying to see what they're going to do. I think Robert Woods has got traded. I think they're trying to get Odell Beckham healthy enough to play next year. But that's always tough to repeat. We all know that nobody does it. Nobody, other than maybe the Patriots, nobody else has really gone back-to-back. So, it's an interesting, but, right now the AFC West, and I got to tell you, the AFC East, are the two divisions you got to step out and pay attention to. I mean, and I'll tell you one thing, Jeff, your New York Jets, who I blast all the time, we have some fun with it, but I'll tell you what, Joe Douglas, he was in the mix. I don't think he was ever going to get Tyreek Hill, but just for the simple fact that he put up a good enough deal to the Kansas City Chiefs that they said, good deal, he's got to pick either deal, he could pick either team, you know, I mean, listen, he went to Miami. He's going to play with back in his home state, you know, no taxes, better weather. You know, but I'll give Joe Douglas credit. You know, he went out and he went for it. I that would have been a go for it move right there.
Did you know that the Kansas City Chiefs said yes to the Jets deal?
They did, yes.
And it was only three draft picks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it wasn't the number one.
Well, some people think that Kansas City used the Jets to get Miami to up their offer. I don't know if I believe that, but I've listened to some people today. Coming home, and they said, you know what, there's been rumblings that the Jets were never in the play, that Tyreek Hill wanted to go back to Miami, and that the Kansas City GM called up Miami and said, well, the Jets are in this, so if you don't want him, he's going to your division, and this is what you got to give up, and they gave it up. So it sounds legit.
Anything is possible.
Absolutely.
We know that's what it could be. You never know.
But
I got to be honest with you. You know what? It is the Jets. Who the fuck knows? This is a team that is cursed.
Hmm.
I'm starting to firmly believe that they're cursed.
Well,
they can't do anything to get out of their own way.
Well, here's the thing. They need to transfer out of that division.
They improved their team this year.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? The AFC is a fucking hole.
Yeah.
Jumps up two notches.
Think about it. You it's forget about
conference.
Well, that's, yeah, you just, I'm just going to go there. Think about it. Their division all got, I would say two of the teams in the division are better. All right, I think obviously the Buffalo's still a better team, and Miami's gotten better. We'll see if the Patriots are better. I mean, they were last year, but
dude, you gotta forget they gotta face Von Miller twice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Von Miller is older, so I don't think he's gonna be a force for the full length of his contract.
No.
Definitely not. Who the fuck wants to face Von Miller twice?
Right, and then the AFC West is probably the best division of football at this moment. The North. Obviously, the Bengals are a good team. And the Browns, some people think the Browns got better. I'm not sure about that. The Steelers, I don't think got better. I think that with Trubisky, I can't imagine they're better. And the Ravens are the Ravens. I think so. But you're right. I think the Jets, no fault of their own, because I think they've done some nice moves. It's still going to rely on the quarterback. But even if they're, Jeff, even if they find a way to win 8 or 9 games, I don't think it's even going to be close to being enough.
No, they're not going to the playoffs this year. They're not going to the playoffs. There's only one way to go into the playoffs this year.
Which is?
Yes. Carl Lawson comes back, and he's twice the player that they hope that he is.
Yeah.
Okay. Mosley.
Okay.
Plays lights out. They draft two studs on defense.
Mm-hmm.
One of them being that kid Sauce. I've got to get a guy named Sauce.
Sauce Gardner. I think that's gonna. I think he's going to wind up on the Giants, the way I'm seeing my models. Well,
I don't know. I don't know because the Jets could get him in four.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. I just think that if they get the right moves,
mm-hmm.
that team could, I don't want to say make the playoffs, but they're going to be in it to the end. It all depends on what Zach Wilson does. I like to pick up at a Cincinnati, the tight end from Cincinnati.
Yep, good pick.
But there's rumors that he came here because he's in love.
Oh, boy. Is that true?
Yeah, with that chick. What's her name? Kay Adams or whatever the fuck her name is.
Oh, yeah.
In football, that supposedly he's, you know, tapping her. But,
and
he says, no, he's not, but whatever.
Uh-oh.
What can I tell you? If that's the case, it's never going
to
work.
But again, you know, they've had a good offseason, and you'd like to say, well, maybe they're second, third, fourth best team. Who knows? But I have to tell you, I mean, Miami should be a much better team. They won 9 games last year. They may even be better this year. The Patriots, who knows, second year with Mac Jones, maybe they get better. I think that's the rub. But the conference is just lights out better. I mean, top to bottom, is the AFC South better? But, you know, I think the Colts got better with Matt Ryan. I mean, it's obviously a better quarterback. I'm not saying he's their Super Bowl, but.
What did they do? Think about what the Colts have done at quarterback. Peyton Manning left. You got Andrew Luck, who looked like he was going to be there for the next couple of decades.
Yep.
Okay. He was hurt half the time, and then he left early. Okay. Jacoby Brissett had an upside. He came to the Colts. He turned upside down.
Yep.
And couldn't play. Okay. Then you end up going after Philip Rivers.
Yep.
Which I thought was a bad move.
I thought so, too. Yep, I agree.
Okay. Now you're going after Matthew Ryan. Okay. Matt Ryan.
Yep.
What do you think Matt Ryan is going to do in Indianapolis? I say he's there for 2 years tops.
Oh, I agree. I think I agree 100%.
He's not a long-term answer.
No, no,
and
but...
I don't think the team is built for anything right now.
Frank Wright
thought that Carson Wentz, and he could work with Carson Wentz, gave up on him. This is after they did all this shit together in Philly. He thought he was going to bring him over here and it was going to work out. Gave up on him.
Yeah.
Now Carson Wentz, somehow, some way, all right, he's going to Washington. You know what? If I was Washington, I would think that, what's his face? Mayfield would be a better answer. At least he's younger.
Yeah, see, I think, I think that division is a little up in the air right now. So I don't think it's a bad move because you're getting a veteran quarterback who's still got a little bit of something left. He's got Jonathan Taylor, who had a great season at running back. And if you think about it, if you have somebody who can throw the football to open things up a little bit, he might even be better. I don't think you're going to ask Matt Ryan to do a ton. Now, again, are they winning Super Bowls? No. But are they as good as some of the other teams at the division? Yeah, I think they are. I think it's going to be competitive. I don't think it's a great division, but I think it's going to be competitive. And Matt Ryan...
What's the matter?
I don't think Matt Ryan's worse than Baker Mayfield. I would take... For 2 years, I would take Matt Ryan right now over Baker Mayfield. He's just a better quarterback.
Well, listen, Matt Ryan definitely has some history.
Yeah.
And it showed what he could do, you know. But, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I can't see Baker Mayfield taking first overall 4 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever it is, being out of the fucking league already. I just don't see it. I just can't see it.
I gotcha.
Can't see it.
Yeah, listen.
You see some of the other names that are floating around that are going to be playing.
No, again, I don't see him as a back. I think he's going to. I still believe he's going to wind up in Seattle. I think there's a half a chance he can wind up in Frisco. If let's say they went with Trey Lance, you know, and they made that move, that's possible. I mean, I don't know where as a starter. I don't know where else he could go. Again, I think Carolina makes us. No, they're going to go with Fields. They're going to play Fields, and they got
Look at what he did last year, Fields.
I agree with you, Jeff. I am no Fields fan.
I'm not trying to think of somebody else, like somebody else that we know.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying that you know you put him on there, he'd get him for a year. Let Fields squirm behind him for a year.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, it makes total sense.
At one time, is Baker Mayfield the next Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Maybe it's possible that may be his niche. I don't know. It may come down to him not having a job until training camp, but somebody going down and they bringing him in. But to me, the one place that makes sense is Seattle. They don't have a quarterback. So, and I think that guy will bring him up there with the sense of I'll fix him. I'll get a, you know, and they'll be horrendous and you know, and they got a couple of good receivers. They you know, and all of that, but. You know, I don't think Baker Mayfield sits out the season. I don't think he'll have a problem getting a job. I just think that people are waiting for him to be released. Nobody's going to trade for him right now. Nobody.
Tell me what you think of this trade.
Yeah.
The New York Jets trade a first-round pick and a third-round pick to Seattle for Metcalf.
I would do it tomorrow.
I think you'd have to.
I think you have to. And I think they know they do. I saw today in the paper, hold on. I saw today in the Post, they had a whole bunch of guys that the Jets could make a play for.
Yeah, Julio Jones.
Which I would run from Julio Jones. I wouldn't even drive past his house.
Julio Jones would be a 1 year.
Jeff, he was horrendous last year. He never played. And when he did, he was a no factor with Tannehill. All right, so free agency is Julio Jones, 33 years old. I would run from him. There's a couple guys in the draft they can go after for trades. Michael Thomas, who missed a good part of last year, if not all of it. I think he's a bit overrated and a bit of a pain in the ass. Tyler Lockett, again, the other receiver in Seattle. That's a guy 29 years old, averaging 78 catches, 1,062 yards a year. And the other guy that they're saying may be available out there is DeAndre Hopkins. Which
I would want him.
You know, I like Hopkins. I think Hopkins is a heck of a player. I'm not a big fan, to be honest with you, of that crowd over there. So I wouldn't either. But there's a couple bodies that they could get. And I do believe if you're the Jets, you do need kind of a veteran guy who's still got wheels. I mean, getting Hill would have been great. You know, my problem with these big moves, Joe, Jeff, you know, the last great trade that was done where a guy left one place, it was a great player, and went to another place and became a great player again, was Reggie White. I mean, other than that, these big trades don't work in the NFL.
No, it depends, Tom. It depends, because a lot of these guys are traded at the end of their career because the teams are going to – they've been on – see, here's the thing. Big trades in baseball don't really garner much attention because players don't stay on the same team like they once did.
Correct.
And they go bounce around from league to league, never mind team to team.
Right.
In the NFL, because there is no trades, if you get the right guy, and it's all about money in the NFL.
Of course it is.
If you get the right guy and you pay him right, he ain't looking to go anyplace because you're giving him God knows how much a year.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now the most guys that look to get traded, what the new thing is like, oh, they didn't ask me who the GM should be.
Yeah.
With Watson
mm-hmm.
and Wilson
yep.
crying about certain moves that were not made that could have benefited him. You see these guys, that's one thing.
Yep.
Okay. Then you got, you know, the quarter contracts. Mm. Contracts up, a lot of guys will jet out. So if there's a trade, especially with some of these guys that have been on there for the maybe in their second contract,
mm-hmm.
and then they get traded.
Yep.
It's like, holy shit, the whole league rumbles. But, you know, think about it. Carson Wentz, he's going to be on his third team.
Yeah.
He's running on his third team.
Yeah.
Guarantee you he'll be on a fourth team.
Trubisky's on his third team.
Trubisky's on his third team.
Mariota's on his third
team. On his second team.
Yeah, Mariota.
Mariota's third team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bridgewater is on what? He's on the Jets, the Saints.
Vikings.
The Panthers.
Yeah, and the Broncos, yeah.
Journeyman.
Yeah.
Old journeyman.
Yeah. Yeah. We used to laugh at Fitzpatrick and look at the guys that are catching him now. And these guys will bounce around the league a couple times and – that's how it goes. Listen, the bottom line is, here's what I think. Two things that are affecting this. One, the way guys are being taught to play the game of football at the lower levels, especially at quarterback, has diluted the talent level at the pros. Guys come up there and they are so lost at quarterback, it's frightening because they've not been taught the right way to play quarterback, and the pros are a different game. The other problem is you're giving so much money to the quarterback that you can't afford to put a team around him for more than a year or two. Then you're shuffling things and you're trying to bring in new guys that are cheaper, either whether they're veterans or they're draft picks, Jeff. And every year you're shuffling in guys and you never build a team chemistry. And you got to hit on it for a year and then you got to run. So that's the problem with football right now.
A lot of what you're saying is 100% true. It really is. It's hard to deny that. It's hard to go against that. But you know what? A lot of also has to do is just a lot of these guys have too much power.
Oh, yeah.
When you're giving people too much power, it's not good. When you get a guy like Russell Wilson, I understand he's the quarterback, he's the face of the franchise, and all this other good shit, I understand this. But when you turn it around and he's like, you know, listen, I can't play under these conditions, I can't this, I can't that. Deshaun Watson getting pissed off and says the man's a trade because he wasn't informed of who the general manager was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? you needed to know who the general manager was?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. No way.
It's insane, but that's the problem that you know, teams are giving. And I'm glad for Seattle. They kind of basically said, Russell Wilson, screw you. You know, you're here as a player. If you don't like it, we'll trade you. And they did. You know, they gave him an opportunity, but you know, the biggest problem is the NFL, the owners themselves. They're giving out these contracts. I mean, the Cleveland Browns gave out a $230 million fully guaranteed contract. What happens to the next great quarterback? What happens when Justin Herbert comes for a deal or Joe Burrow comes up for a deal? They're going to ask for $300 million guaranteed money.
They're liable to get $300 million.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not disagreeing with it. But
how is that?
But think about it. You know, and it's the same thing with the wide receiver position. So right now, You have a thing where you have to trade one of your better players from a team that has been, you know, top of the AFC for the last few years because you would have to pay $80 million of your $208 million salary cap to two players because you gave Patrick Mahomes this ridiculously big contract. And to me, this all really got out of hand was with Cousins. That's where this went completely off the rails. You gave a mediocre, average quarterback that kind of money so that when the guys who are good quarterbacks, the Bradys, the Rodgers, those kind of guys got to that point, they went, well, if he's getting $28 million or whatever it was, $30-something million, I got to get $40. And now you got guys like Dak Prescott and Jimmy Garoppolo. Look at Cousins this year. He's getting $35 million for this year.
These guys were going to get that money no matter what. Okay?
Maybe.
NFL owners are so worried that there's such a bounty on a quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay? They're so worried about the quarterback position
mm-hmm.
and who's going to play it and how much they're going to get for them and this, that, and the other fucking thing.
Yeah.
That all they worry about constantly is replace it, replace it, replace it. It's insane. It's totally fucking insane.
It is. It is.
Okay, that's one thing. Okay. Second of all, you said it with Trey Lance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, maybe the 49ers want to keep him on the bench just a little bit longer so that he learns a little bit more. Okay. How much longer are you going to keep him on the bench? And then when he comes in and he plays half a season and the guy has 4 touchdowns but 12 interceptions and he's played half a season, now you're going to want his head. Well, it's not his fault that he sat on the bench for 2 or 3 seasons.
Yeah, no.
It's your fault that he sat on the bench for 2 or 3 seasons.
Yeah.
And all these people, you got to keep thinking and realize that put these guys out there. Let them fucking play. Let them play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yeah. There are plenty of NFL quarterbacks that's been their whole entire career, for the most part, with one team. That sucked.
Yeah.
And they did nothing to change them. Sometimes they went to the Super Bowl. Sometimes they didn't. Let me ask you this. Dan Marino.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does Dan Marino survive in today's NFL?
Well, no. The game's a different game. You got to be able to move the RPOs, run pass options. Yeah. So, you know, Elway could have lived in this game. He can move well enough. Dandy Dan, I don't think he would have been.
You think that he would eventually been benched or maybe cut or
I don't
traded.
Think I'll tell you right now, Tom Brady 10, 15 years later, Tom Brady's not in the NFL today. Tom Brady shows up to the combine today like he did 2000.
But he's playing in the game today.
No, I got it. But I agreed. But the problem is not that he couldn't do it. The problem is teams this week that people went Google Gaga over Malik Willis. Did you see all of that? The guy who's throwing it. Yeah, so Malik Willis, the quarterback out of Liberty, people have been talking about Kenny Pickett's the number one quarterback. Well, this week, Malik Willis had his pro day. So he's there in shorts and T-shirt throwing 70, 80-yard passes. I think he threw a 65-yard pass. And they were owing and on. And oh, my God, and look at his lower half. And to me, I've watched a couple of his games. I've seen the films. I've watched the highlight thing on him. The guy, I don't see it, but people Google because he looks the part, you know, and I think that's the big thing with Tom Brady. Tom Brady 20 years ago didn't look the part of a quarterback today. He did then. Back then, quarterbacks looked like Tom Brady because the game was different. So
yeah, the game was different, but you want to know something? I'll say this much for this kid from Liberty. Okay, when was the last quarterback that came out of Liberty, went through the draft, and actually had an NFL career?
I can't even begin to tell you.
Well, it probably is not one because I never even heard of that school until just now.
Okay.
Okay, that's one thing. Second of all, you know what? The combine, you're saying about this kid, the passes he was mm-hmm. throwing. You're right. He's throwing these passes under no pressure.
Nope.
Okay, nobody scripted play.
Yep.
So the receiver knows which way to go, who's not being harassed.
Yep.
Who's just running down there as fast as he can.
Yep.
But here's the thing that I will disagree with, and it's the only thing that I'll disagree with what you said so far.
Go ahead.
Okay? You got these guys, no pressure, no knot, whatever you want to say. I don't care what it is. But they're heaving the ball 60, 65, 70 yards, and it looks like they're doing it without even breaking a sweat. The only thing that I could see that these guys are doing is showing arm strength.
Yeah.
That's about the only thing that
absolutely.
I could say. You know, you want to see the guy throw the ball deep. Well, some of these guys ain't going to be able to throw the ball 60 yards, and we know it.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be guys that may be able to throw the ball 75, 80 yards through the air.
Yeah.
And that is an accomplishment.
Sure.
But in the NFL, it's not every play that's going 60, 70, 75 yards a game.
Correct.
Okay? You have to be able to play at a different level. You have to be able to adapt. You have to be able to read. You have to be able to do all. You need a complete game.
Agreed.
Not a deep ball. This isn't Madden.
Yeah.
This is not Madden. And that's the difference that should be looked at and should be thought of.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing I'll say about to me, and the, the combine and everything else. That's how I feel about that.
Well, listen, we're gonna be breaking down the draft for you guys soon. We're gonna be doing a lot of our models. We'll be breaking down what teams need. We'll go through all the divisions starting in about 2 weeks. Each week we'll do a couple of divisions right till we get to draft night. So make sure you guys come back each week, and those will be our almost 536th show by the time the draft shows up. So we're at 532 shows tonight. So thanks for sticking around and being part of us. I want to thank our friends in Israel. We are at our highest ever in Israel right now. So thank you for our ratings in Israel. And we are still getting ratings out of Ukraine. We are at 1% in the Ukraine. So somebody in all that fighting and there somehow is listening to the Hard Rock and Sports Show.
Let me ask you something. Let's just say, we don't know now, but this conflict is over. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
One day. Hopefully one day soon, for a lot of reasons.
Yep.
And the conflict is over, and they'll say, what happened? Or like, just like when World War One, there was the Christmas Day truce.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say that over in Ukraine, that every Thursday night between 6:30 and 9:30, the guns go silent.
Mm-hmm.
As everyone gathers around the radio or whatever it is that they're doing, YouTube, the cell phone, whatever.
Right.
And they just sit back and they listen to the Hard Rock and Sports Show for just a few minutes. And it just brings normalcy to everybody's lives. Maybe right now in a field somewhere, there's some Ukrainian soldiers going up to a Russian tank, offering cigarettes and a little whiskey and some chocolate. And they're all huddled around the phone listening to the show. Would you want your name to be part of synonymous with history?
Sure. I bring a little tear to my eye right now. I got a little tear.
And then all of a sudden, one day, there's a knock at your door, and you open the door like, can I help you? And you hear, come with me now. I'm like, oh, no, you'll come with me now.
That's what.
Next thing you know, you wake up in the Kremlin. And standing before you is Vladimir Putin and Joe Biden. We're going to put a medal around your neck for ending all of this.
Wow.
But nobody tells Zelensky. He's still
hiding. He's still hiding in a bomb shelter somewhere.
Yeah. Buried.